All right, welcome, welcome, welcome to the Metaverse Bible Study Podcast on YouTube. This is our mental health ministry. This is podcast episode number 16, and today's title is Human Scale. I'm your host, Bishop D.D. Lattimore, and we're going to first get started off with what Neil deGrasse Tyson said about extraterrestrials on News Nation. About 14 hours ago, he said, it says more than half of all Americans believe that intelligent life exists on other planets, according to News Nation / Decision Desk HQ polling. And you can count astrophysicist Neil deGrasse Tyson among them. Tyson said Monday on Elizabeth Vargas Reports, it would be unrealistic to demand of the universe that we are alone. I can tell you that I wouldn't be terrified if the universe were filled with life. I mean, that'd be great. We're here. That would be just fine, Tyson said. Let's learn more about them. Okay. And this is what Marcus Aurelius said. And we're going to try to tie all of this together. December the 19th is on the Daily Stoic Human Scale. It says, think of the whole universe of matter and how small your share. Think about the expanse of time and how brief, almost momentary, the part marked for you. Think of the workings of fate and how infinitesimal your role. Marcus Aurelius, Meditations 5.24. And that is a lot to say. And today in our mental health meditation, we're going to think about and pray about the scale of our humanity. Solomon said it quite simply, that we are like a vapor of smoke. We're here today and we're gone tomorrow. And that's somewhat what Marcus Aurelius is saying today, that we are very infinitesimal and our life is almost like a brief moment. It's momentary. It's here today, gone tomorrow, like Solomon said. But in contrast to that, think about the scale of the universe, the whole scale of the universe, like how massive it is, how massive Jupiter and how massive Saturn are in correlation to the Earth, how the Sun is massive in correlation to Jupiter and Saturn, and how you have other galaxies that are massive in correlation to our galaxy. And to, you know, think that we are the only ones in this massive galaxy. I mean, what the Hubble telescope has been showing us is that it's just so many galaxies. We are one galaxy. We have our planets in our galaxy, and we have our sun, and we have the rotations and all that different kind of stuff. There are like so many other galaxies that mimic ours, and they have their own kind of way of, you know, existing. And the science and the math behind all of that is crazy. It's mind-boggling. But to think that the Earth is the only planet that has the ideal climate to sustain life. Come on, man, please. And then if you are like, you know, a believer in God, he's a creator. This is what he does. He goes out and he creates things. He says in the evening and the morning were the first day. In the evening and the morning were the second day. Evening and the morning were the third day. And this is what he does. He creates. He's a creator. Okay, so this is what we are talking about today, and we're going to get back to it. But first, we got to take care of some housekeeping. So welcome to the Metaverse Bible Study Podcast, where we dive into the timeless truths, timeless wisdom of the Bible and Stoic philosophy. I'm your host, Bishop DD, and I am honored to be your guide on this spiritual journey. In each episode, we'll explore the rich tapestry of lessons, meditations, and reflections that have shaped many cultures and inspired many hearts throughout the centuries. Whether you're a pastor or a devout believer or somebody just simply curious about the profound teachings of the Bible, you found a home here. So if you need a friend, open up your heart, find a quiet moment, and join me as we uncover the profound insights and eternal truths woven in these ancient texts. This podcast is brought to you by BizExchange.network. Remember that your network determines your net worth. Contacts mean contracts. I joined BizExchange.network because I needed to increase my bottom line. The social media platform will surround you with people who can help you do just that. And for a discount, use the promo code Metaverse. And finally, subscribe to the Metaverse Bible Study Podcast on YouTube today. Everyone that becomes a subscriber shares God's light in a dying world right along with us. So let this light so shine before men on YouTube and subscribe today. And if you would like to give a seed offering on Cash App, just use our hashtag Power Praise. You'll see Bishop DD. Thank you. All right. So let's get back to this. Let's open up what Marcus Aurelius said. He said, think of the whole universe of matter and how small your share. I mean, we got some really big people. Like there's a guy that just came into the league. His name is Victor Wembanyama, and he is humongous. Like his fingers are super long and he's tall. He dwarfs everybody. And what makes Victor so special is that usually people that tall, they don't have any coordination. They're just kind of there to be a body, to block, you know, to be a guard against the other team, you know, and to be a rim runner, you know. But this guy is like the tallest guy on the court, and he's mobile, and he is flexible, and he has hand-eye coordination, and he can dribble the rock, and he's only like 19. he's an anomaly. Years ago, Zion Williamson was an anomaly. So you have all of these anomalies that come into the league, in the NBA, but this guy is just something that, you know, we've never really seen before. We've seen it in Bobo, but that's another different topic for another day. This is the first guy that is celebrated for being like this. He's tall, and he has a jumper like, you know, KD, and he can shoot threes. It's crazy, right? But in, you know, comparison to, you know, a building like the Eiffel Tower or like the Empire State Building, he is super small. He is like not even a quarter of how big that building is, right? So everything is relative, right? That's what Einstein taught us better than anybody else, the law of general relativity. It's relative. It's relative. It's relative. It's relative. Everything is relative. That's why it's so stupid for people to try to keep up with the Joneses, because You know, you're trying to stay relative. You're trying to be relative. But, you know, if you, you know, don't have that kind of money or don't have that kind of those kind of resources, then it's kind of stupid for you to try to swim in their sea when you are relegated to your pool. You understand what I'm saying? So to get depressed or to get mad or to get frustrated about things that you cannot control. You cannot control where you at in your age and your stage in life. You are where you are, but that galaxy that you're living in is relative to somebody else's galaxy. Our galaxy in the universe is relative to somebody else, to something else's galaxy. And there might be life there. And there might be, you know, people taller than us there. It's all relative. I think about the children of Israel when they were going into the promised land. You know, they went out with their 12 spies and 10 of them came back and said, they are giants out there. We are grasshoppers in their sight and it's not attainable. And Joshua and Caleb were the only ones that were just like, y'all tripping. Which also, we didn't see the same thing. How can we be looking at the same thing and not see the same thing? you understand what I'm saying? We're looking at the same things, but we're not seeing the same things because you're looking at it through the eyes of your relativity. And I'm looking at it through the eyes of how I view it being relative. And we're not seeing the same things. That's how two people can watch the same game and say that each other teams are cheating. The ref is cheating for you. The refs are cheating for you. No, it's relative. Everything is relative based off of the what we call in theology, the hermeneutics. It's the rose covered glasses that we see things through. So if you're looking through the world through the lack of your serotonin, you're not going to see the same things that I see. You understand what I'm saying there? Because it's relative. It's relative. Stephen A. Smith said it's fluid. It's fluid. It's fluid. It's fluid. I'm telling you that it's relative. Okay. It's relative. Everything is relative. So with that being the case, then when you think about, you know, your life and when you think about who we are and our picture in the universe, and we think about the relativity of the universe as matter and how small our share is. This is what Marcus Aurelius is saying. This is what Neil deGrasse Tyson is saying. You know, Marcus Aurelius is saying, think about the expanse of time and how brief it is. Think about how you're going to be here today and gone tomorrow, right? Think about what life looks like without you, right? And when you think about these things, it gives you a different perspective. It changed your hermeneutics. One of the astronauts went up to the moon and got very philosophical when he began to his worldview changed when he went up in space for the first time and saw the Earth relative from the moon's perspective. Right. And he said he wanted to take every politician and bring them up to what he was looking at and say, look at this, look at it. You're fighting over this, you're fighting over that, and you are in there petty. Every situation you're dealing with right now is petty, and you're losing hope, and you're losing life, and you're losing your positivity because of this petty stuff. But if you change the way you think, and think about something bigger than you. Think about your goals. Think about where you're trying to go, not where you are. When you think about how different it's going to be next year, when you think about how when things change in your life and now you're on top, you're not going to be thinking about these little petty things that you're thinking about now. Like it's going to be so past tense. You understand what I'm saying? So If it's going to be like that then why don't you treat it like that now? How can you just, we used to say stuff like, don't sweat the small stuff. Exactly. It's too small to be spending your life energies sweating this small stuff. For what? Think about the expanse of time and how brief, almost momentary, the part that is marked for you. Think about the workings of fate and how infinitesimal your role is what Marcus Aurelius is saying. And basically what he's saying is think about things when you're caught thinking about things that are too small for you. You need to be able to think about something else that'll change your perspective. And this month, we're thinking about death. Death will change your perspective. That's why we keep on saying in this episode and in this month, if you were going to die today, you wouldn't spend half the time worrying about the stuff you was going to worry about that you're worrying about now. You wouldn't even think about it. It would be so small to you because you know that the problems that you have tomorrow is not going to, you're not going to be there for them. So you're not going to spend your time thinking about that. It's an oh well in your spirit. Like, oh well. Like, you owe a car company $30,000 for your car, but you're going to die today, and you know it. Oh well, I don't know how they're going to get their money, but it ain't going to come from me. When you put things into perspective like that, then you can hijack the conversation that's going on in your brain. Right. And the problem is that you actually have, most people have to wait for situations to change to think outside of their situation. But Marcus Aurelius is reminding himself, you can do this today. You don't have to abide by the narrative that your brain and your emotions have laid out for you today. You're too strong for that. You're too smart for that. You are not limited to the brute beasts. You are not limited to just to the animals. You can think outside of reproduction and food and shelter. You can think about bigger things. You have higher intelligence. And sometimes that has to be practiced. Right? Well, let's see what Ryan Holiday has to say. Ryan says, the amount of time in the universe is immense. On the order of trillions, I'm sorry, the amount of matter in the universe is immense. On the order of trillions of atoms. Trillions. What percentage of that matter does one human body constitute? The Earth, as far as science tells us, is some 4.5 billion years old and shows no sign of ending soon. Our time on Earth, on the other hand, will be what? Several decades, maybe? Sometimes we need to have the facts and figures spelled out in front of us to fully realize the scale at which humans happen to exist in the big scheme of things. Consider this next time you feel self-important, arrogant, or like everything rises and falls on what you will do next. It doesn't. Your next decision is not going to ruin your life in and of itself. You're just one person among many doing your best among many. And that's all you need to do. That's good. That's good stuff. That's good stuff. So here you have Ryan Holiday talking about the mass of the matter that's in the universe. It's composed of trillions of atoms. He's thinking relatively, right? And it is bringing the percentage of the matter that one human body is made of. It is bringing it into perspective that it is just a small little, whatever that is. I'm trying to make the microphone make the sounds. It is just a puff of smoke, right? And when you think about that, and you think about how small your part is, think about how big God is at that point, right? For his eyes to be in every place, beholding the evil and the good, in every galaxy, in every planet, in every possible life consisting replica of Earth. Maybe we're the latest creation and they are the oldest creation, right? Maybe we're the replica, right? So when we think about these and we put these things into perspective, then we begin to see, hey, it's, if you put your problems next to something else that is bigger than that, then certain cares start to fade away, right? Like the old saying used to say that no matter how bad you got it, somebody out there got it worse, right? You lost all your money. Somebody never had no money. You were molested. Somebody was raped. You feel like you're stuck. Somebody's in jail. Like there's somebody else has it worse than you. They just do, right? And when you bring that into perspective and make it relative to your situation, there's always something to be grateful for. Always, always. And you don't have to allow negativity to filter how you see your world when you could just take off your glasses, take off your negative glasses, put on your positive glasses and start looking through that light. And that is what gratitude does for us and does for our mind and does for our thinking and how it makes things relative. That's why you have to wake up in the morning grateful. Because it helps you get out of the bed on the good foot, on the right side of the bed, right? It changes how you deal with people, how you talk to people. It changes how you relate to people. That's how Joseph can say, you meant it for evil, but God, he meant it for good to save many people alive this day, right? He was sold. He was lied on. They wanted to kill him. He was lied on by Potiphar's wife. He was put into prison. Right? There was a lot of things that seemed unfair. And he could have said, God let me down. he could have said, God failed me. But he didn't. He put on the right glasses and he kept the main thing, and God trusted him to do that. God trusted him to put on the right glasses so that he could actually fulfill the will of God for his life before he died. And I think that that's one thing that you have to always keep at top of mind. You have to keep that at the forefront of your mind. Are you in position to fulfill God's will for your life before you die? When you're thinking about the expanse of the universe, you're thinking about the trillions of atoms and you're bringing everything into perspective, right? When you're thinking about these things, and you're seeing how small your part is, and you see how much time you really have on this earth is just not a lot. Can you fulfill God's will in the short amount of time that you have? That's what makes your life a success, right? And we're talking about human scale. We're talking about how we are in relative to something that may be bigger than us. But can you think about like the scale of your humanity? That's why I like Mr. Beast. Mr. Beast gets so many good reviews when it comes to his stuff because he is a true humanitarian, right? He does a lot of philanthropic work and he's making a ton of money on YouTube, but he's also giving a lot of it away and it makes him happy to do so. And this is known, right? And when you think about that, then you think about the scale of his humanity. You think about, you know, how his humanity weighs in the story of people who have been known for their philanthropic work as well. So if you put your humanity on a scale, right, and I'm bringing this back to the will of God. if you put your humanity on your scale, on the scale, and yes, it might not weigh a lot, like a diamond ring that you're going to give your fiance and ask for her to marry you, right? You put that on a scale and it doesn't weigh much. But if you put that on her finger, it weighs a lot. If you get what I'm saying. You understand what I'm saying? Like relative. It's relative. So when you put your life essence on the scale of humanity, how much does it weigh? And how much does it weigh? You understand what I'm saying? Right? So, and the best way for you to weigh and to measure your days, just like we talked about just the other day, the best way for you to do that is to actually do the will of God for your life. Be open to the will of God for your life. No matter how fair or unjust you feel like the cards that you have been given are, take your hand, play your hand, and step on the human scale. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? Like that's what Dave Chappelle, you know what I mean? Put yourself on that scale and weigh whether or not you're doing the will of God. Christ didn't live that long. You know, when I think about my life, particularly, if I die today or tomorrow, I'm still grateful. And I don't care what I'm going through in my life. You know why I'm grateful? Because number one, I had a really bad car accident in my early years, in my 20s. And I know that car accident could have killed me. And I feel like I should have been dead, right? And that was in my early 20s. That was before I had a kid. That's before I had a wife. That's before I had anything. I didn't have any. And then I would have just been a byword. Like, you remember such and such, or you remember such and such? Oh, yeah, that's a tragic shame. Like, that is what my life could have been, right? But after the car accident, I got out of the car. I began to thank God for my life. And it changed my perspective. Everything got relative real quick. You understand what I'm saying? Everything, my perspective changed real quick. I started thinking about God more. I started thinking about life after death more. I started thinking about a wife more, kids more. I started thinking about what my life would mean more. And when I found a woman that was willing to take my crazy self, and she was happy to say I do back, you know, I took her and ran. You understand what I'm saying? Somebody that I could actually live this life with, took her around. Because in my mind now, I should have never had a wife because I should have been dead. You understand how, you see how that works? When my wife had other kids before our marriage, but I was grateful, super grateful for the kids that she gave me because I should have never had no kids, right? You see how that changes your perspective? And you see how ungrateful people are when somebody that they like come into the picture and then they want to be like, those ain't my kids, or they'll buy stuff for their kids but won't buy stuff for her kids. Like, how stupid or how selfish or how immature are you to try to have a life with this woman and not love on her kids? You understand what I'm saying? So, but things in your life prepare you for the next age and the next stage of your life. And that car accident absolutely changed my perspective when it came to life. And I was grateful for my children. And I was grateful for my wife. And then I had some children of my own. And I was grateful for them. And I did not treat them better than I treated my first kids. My first kids are my kids. Why would I treat them any different? You understand what I'm saying? So, you know what I mean? So the thing that you have to take into consideration is that when you have something that brings things into perspective, especially things that, you know, for whatever reason, however you're wired, if you can think about it in a positive way, oh man, the devil can't do nothing with you. Satan can't do nothing with you. I think Paul said, he said, I wish that you would not be ignorant of the enemy's devices. And I'm just going to tag along with that. I wish you would not be ignorant of the enemy's devices. You know, fiery darts are going to come. Yeah, all that's good. How you deal with them is the next level of your relationship and how you spend your time here on earth. How do you deal with people's attitudes? How do you deal with people's pettiness? How do you deal with not having the right card? Let me tell you something. There's a lot of times when I'm playing spades, I don't have the right cards, but I can still win the deck. You understand what I'm saying? You can win with the cards that you have if you play them right, but you got to see them right. That's why when you got a hand and you're looking at your spades and you're looking at your hand, when you're playing spades and you're looking at your hand, you start thinking about that's a book. That's a probably, you understand what I'm saying? And how the game goes, you can turn a probably into a book. And the things that you thought was a book is not a book. Somebody took that. Somebody had a better hand. You understand what I'm saying? So think about it in terms of relativity. Think about your human scale, right? It says sometimes we have the facts and figures spelled out right in front of us to fully realize the scale at which humans happen to exist in the big scheme of things. Consider this the next time you feel self-important or like everything rises and falls on what you do next. It doesn't. God gives us so many chances to just turn things around. He said, today, if you hear my voice, today, if you hear my voice, he's always saying today, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Like, you are not the mistakes that you made, right? And when you are not the mistakes that you made, yeah, you made a mistake, but if you make a good decision after you make that mistake and continue to make good decisions after that one mistake, you would not be defined by that mistake. So life and everything that consists of life does not rise and fall on what you do next. You might be in a different reality, but it doesn't mean that it's over, right? Adam and Eve got kicked out the garden, and you would think that life, you know, rose and fell based off of, you know, what he did, what they did. They did, and they got kicked out of the garden, and you say that was it. That was not it. That was not the end of the story. God still had grace. They were just in a new reality. Yes, your decisions might put you in a new reality, but it doesn't mean that everything is over, right? You can still do good in this new reality. You made the decision. You did the crime, do the time, but it doesn't mean that you can't be productive in the situation that you put yourself in, right? So it doesn't. It's not the end of the world. Somebody touch a neighbor and say, it's not the end of the world. 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 Okay. So you're just one person among many, doing your best among many. That's all you need to do. That's all you need to be. You don't need to be nothing else but that. You understand what I'm saying? Listen, if you have not gone on YouTube, subscribe today. Please hit that notification bell, and so you can get these podcasts, so you can send this light out to everybody else. If you would like to send a seed offering, if that message has touched you in a special way, you can send it to hashtag Power Praise, and you should see my name, Bishop DD. All right. Now, we're almost done with this today's podcast. We're going to get into our scripture, and we're going to pray about these things. And I have waxed long and poetic about human scale, but let us take it to God in prayer. Okay, you'll find us in Psalm 29th chapter, and I want you to pray with me. Shema Israel, Yahweh Eloheinu, Yahweh Ha, Hero Israel, the Lord our God is one. It says, give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Father, in the name of Yeshua the Messiah, we do bless you. We give you praise. We honor you. We thank you for waking us up this morning. Thank you for starting us on our way. Thank you for life, health, and strength. Thank you for keeping us and guiding us and watching over us, protecting us. Everybody under the sound of my voice, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you for them paying attention. I thank you for them listening. But I thank you for reminding us to give you glory and to give you our strength. You know, we give our strength to everything else, our friends. We give our strength to our relationships, but we don't give our strength to you. We don't spend no time with you. We're not in our word. We don't sit there and talk to you and give you time to talk back. But we want to give you our strength today. We want to give you glory today. We don't want to give our strength to YouTube and to Twitter and to Facebook and to all these things that is zapping the strength from us. We want to give you our strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We thank you for your name, and your name is due glory. Look at what you have created, Yah. Look at what you've created. You've created not only our solar system, not only our galaxy, but you have created so many more. And you are just awesome at what you do. We're in awe of it. And we just want to thank you because your name is due glory. Why would we praise anybody more than we praise you? It says, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Help us. There's a lot of people trying to worship you, but they ain't holy. And how could we be those who are still wrapped up in the flesh, who have not died to the flesh, who is not walking in the spirit? There's a lot of people that say that they are, you know, have the spirit, but they don't walk in it. They don't walk in that beautiness, that beauty of holiness. So we ask you that you give us your holiness. How else can we walk in it? How else can we worship without it? Give us that credit. Give us, debit that to us, right? So that we can worship you. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. Thank you. Thank you for being upon the waters. Now, I know that this is a pashat and it's a literal translation, but some of us got some figurative waters that we don't necessarily know all the time if you are there. Sometimes we feel alone. Sometimes we feel like there's, Peter said, bid me to come. We out here in these waters, but we weren't bid to come. Somehow, some way, we just landed in these troublesome waters. But yet you're there. You are there with us in our troubled waters. Your voice is there. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. How can we not think that you are not there in our time of troubled waters? The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. Scripture says the voice of the Lord is full of majesty. We believe in your power. We believe in your majesty, and we believe in your voice. Speak to us today, God. Help us today, God. Show us signs. Make things relative to us today. I'm dealing with some breathing issues today. I don't feel good in my lungs today. But somebody else got it out there worse. Somebody has cancer. Somebody has stage 4. Somebody is wilting in the bed because cancer is eating up their body, and they have jaundice in their eyes. And I am sitting here talking on this podcast, not feeling well today. But it could be worse. And I know it says it is appointed for it is appointed that for every man to die. And I know I have my day. But today, I'm going to tell you like Arya Stark said in the Game of Thrones. I told death not today. And let me flip that around. Let me make it relative. You told death, God, not today. I got a day. My days are numbered. I know I'm going to die one day. But you woke me up and you said, not today. And we praise you for that. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf. Lebanon and Syrian like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. I'm going to ask you today, God, that you shake our wildernesses. Some of us are in the wilderness. Some of us are in that stage of our life where we are in a dry place alone, disconnected from any kind of ecosystem that we used to know and we got dependent on, and now we got to make it out here by ourselves. Somebody is in their wilderness. I'm asking you in the name of Yeshua the Messiah that you shake it. Shake it. Shake it like a garment in your hand. Shake it. Help us. Help us see that you still control it. That's what you're shaking it is. Shaking is when I shake something, I'm saying, hey, I'm in control. Listen, God, shake our wildernesses and show us that you are in control of our wilderness. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calf and discovereth the forests. And in the temple doth everyone speak of his glory. The Lord sitteth upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. And we thank you for this prayer. And we thank you for this moment. We thank you for sitting upon our floods. We thank you for the things when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God lifts up a standard against it. And we thank you for this solemn moment of prayer in the spirit of holiness. In Jesus' name we pray. Who is Yeshua HaMashiach? Amen and amen. All right, guys, that's it for our podcast today. I went a little long, but the lesson actually got really good to me. If you have not subscribed yet to our YouTube page, please subscribe to us on YouTube. Please go on YouTube and subscribe. Just yesterday, we were at, 321 to 323. Now we're all the way up to 330 something. Okay, so you have been subscribing, and I like to say thank you. We're trying to get up to 500 so that we can further influence the algorithm. Listen, share this podcast with a friend. We're everywhere podcasts are. We go live on Facebook and YouTube simultaneously, but after that it is uploaded to Apple and Google. So help us with our mission to get out in front of somebody, to help them with their mental health and to think about God in a relative way. This is your host, Bishop DD, and I'm signing off. Have a good, blessed day. Goodbye.